Right, welcome. Glad to have you guys on here tonight. I'm not sure if any of you have done any of these live videos, if you've ever tried to do one, but there's like this 5 second delay where it looks like it's not loading, but you're already live. And one of these days I'm gonna get caught picking my nose or something. And so there's this very disturbing thing that happens where you finally see yourself and it says that you're like 6 seconds into something. So I apologize for the lag on the beginning. I'm just not brave enough to start talking before I can actually see myself on here. It's like my nightmare that something weird is going to happen in one of these live sessions and I'm going to end up looking weird. This week, my daughter Lillian's a part of the Girl Scouts and they had this thing they're advertising where they were going to be having like a Broadway Disney live stream on Instagram. So you could sing, the songs from Frozen and Jasmine and all this kind of stuff, and had pictures from all the different Broadway versions of that on there. And they were like, right when the time came on, everyone's logging on, and there's like literally thousands of little girls, and people are typing things back and forth about, like, why can't I see anything? Why isn't it working? What's going on? Why can't I see anything? And it's because they just couldn't get it to work. And so they were like an hour late and everyone was like panicking about that. And then it came on and God bless. It was this one poor lady by herself in her apartment who I guess is like a choreographer or something for Disney Broadway. And I'm sure great and highly qualified and did a really good job for that. And she was just basically talking to the screen like I am and then did some little dances just by herself in her sweats the kids could mimic while playing stuff like off an iPhone. And Lillian and every other girl I think thought that they're gonna see Elsa and all this stuff. So I know lots of disappointed Girl Scouts around the country, I think. Luckily we have a very small Girl Scout contingent here at Ecclesia. So but that is my fear that we're gonna end up doing something weird and it's gonna go wrong for our thousands of viewers. Okay, I digress. Good to see you. Welcome to Ecclesia. If you happen to be joining us here on Facebook right now and don't really know who we are, we're a church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We aren't associated with any particular denomination. Been around about 13 years. Spend most of our time working in the community, working in the local schools, all that good stuff. And we are a place that believes everyone is welcome and genuinely wants everyone to come and be a part of what we're doing. And so, when the time comes that we can meet in person, know that you are invited. Until then, know that you are welcome to join us on here. If you are a part of our church and our community on a regular basis, keep in mind that through the text messages and through the email that there is a link to a Zoom meeting we'll have afterwards, right at about 5:30 or so, just for people to catch up and let each other know what's going on so we can see each other's faces. And while much of this COVID thing has been terrible, those the small groups and those meetings afterwards have been great. And so if you're a part of the church but you haven't taken part in one of those, I encourage you to jump on. Yeah, they've been really great. I'm not sure if you can hear the music outside of our building right now, but someone just pulled up outside of our office and is parked there with their music blaring. So hopefully it'll be inspirational on anything that we are talking about today. We are continuing through our lectionary, the lectionary text, and we are in Matthew. In fact, I think I tried to put the entire passage that we'll be working with in the description for this for the live stream here. But we're in Matthew chapter 13, and this is one of Jesus' more well-known parables, really. But it's a parable that revolves around gardening, which and sowing seeds and that kind of thing, which can be a little bit problematic for those of us, who are kind of a drive-through generation. We're more of a type it on our phone and then go pick it up and eat it kind of group of people. But and I'm not a gardener. I do spend. We have a little tiny garden at our house, but Sarah takes care of it and it actually has produced a good bit. But I do spend an inordinate amount of time outside, and I feel a lot of pressure to make sure everything is growing correctly and looking correctly, because we were at that house on the corner right by the school, and we got the sidewalks, which is great, but we get judged. We get judged a lot, and so there are times when I wish we didn't live there, and times I wish I didn't have to worry about it, and or had a yard like I spent a summer in Tucson, Arizona, and landscaping there was like put rocks and a couple of cactus in your yard and call it a life. You don't have to deal with it at all because it's so much work, right? And the main lesson I know from our own yard and even from our teensy tiny garden here is that pretty much everything grows aggressively where we're at, right? And especially the stuff you don't want. And it, in my list of things that I hate, weeds are very high up that list. You just can't ever get on top of them around here, right? It feels like everything here grows crazy, especially that stuff that you don't want. And I mean, my grass needs mowing every 5 days at this time of year, which is great because it's only, 109 degrees outside. So who doesn't want to go mow a yard, right? And just everything grows. In fact, Sarah's been taking lately just whatever we have left from, like, you know, the little nub that you have left on your lettuce after you're done chopping it up and eating it. And she's been sticking things in water and sticking it in the ground on the ends of carrots and every, and whatever you do, you just chop it and stick it in the ground and it grows here, right? Everything grows kind of easily. And again, especially the stuff that you may not want. And so I don't really know much about gardening, and we live in this place where everything just kind of naturally takes off. But while that's very different from the world this parable is written in, because everything grows easily and it's not that big a deal, it is also, even if you were a farmer today, this parable is very disconnected, right? Because like farming, I don't know how much time you've gone up north of Mississippi, seen the way they do farming now, but there's a lot of science and technology to it now, right? Because it's not really easy to effectively grow only what you want to have grow. There's a lot of science in today's farming. The soil is plowed first. A lot of times now there's like literally tractors that are controlled by satellite that don't have anyone in them that are doing that work. Soil is tested and it's developed and nutrients are added and there's pH balances and rows are drawn kind of perfectly straight and seeds are specifically injected at certain distances apart from everyone else. And it's this very kind of methodical thing, right? And that's just not Jesus' world. That's not how things were working, and not just because they didn't have satellites to control. But back then, and I didn't know this till I was studying some this week for this passage, back then what you basically did was just throw seeds everywhere and then plow everything up, turn it all over, and then kind of hope for the best, right? Water it all and just see where it grows and how much grows, right? And we think of like specific rows and various kind of a strategic way of doing things, and that's just not how it worked in Jesus' day, right? In fact, when you read the first part of this parable, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, I mean, it almost sounds reckless and dumb. Here's what it says. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. Wouldn't that be great? I wish I could just sit on a boat on the beach and preach instead of this stupid computer. I guess if we went to the beach, we could socially distance there. Let's look into that. Caroline, look into that. Maybe we can find a beach we can meet on. Again, I digress. The whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold." Now, a hundredfold is just, I mean, that's hitting the lottery, right? I mean, it doesn't make much sense to us now, but I mean, this would be, someone could basically sell all this food and retire in those days. But it brings forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen, right? So there's this parable of the seeds going out, birds eat some, rocky soil where it springs up and then goes away, thorns choke it out, and some places that are fertile where it grows in multitudes. And it ends with, "I know, if you have ears, listen." But to our modern ears, this feels like a very wasteful and ineffective system to us, right? why would you just throw seed out like this, right? Why would you cast seed out so widely and indiscriminately, right? Because we believe in kind of not wasting any motion if we don't have to, right? Doing things a smart and efficient way. We bow to the gods of strategy and intentionality and eliminating all the unnecessary movement. And I don't just mean in like modern farming, but in everything, right? There's a store right across the street, but when I want AA batteries, I want to just click something on my phone and have AA batteries show up in the mailbox tomorrow. Why would I walk all the way across the street to make that happen? That is a wasted effort. That's more complicated than it needs to be for me, right? And we treat kind of everything that way. And I think we even treat a lot of times, honestly, our faith and our church work and the mission of God in that same way. I mean, I can't tell you in my kind of ministerial career, if you can call it that, whatever this is. I guess televangelism is a career, right? But in my ministerial career, all the meetings and conferences and staff meetings and all these things that I've been a part of, mostly, honestly, before Ecclesia, that were essentially focused on how to be strategic, how to be more effective, how to be more specific and kind of trim all the fat and how to really get at things, right? We read books about finding our target markets and about how to market strategically to certain people and finding your audience and blah, 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 all this stuff, right? Classes about knowing how to talk to people in certain ways and get the best results for your evangelism. And I mean, in church work, I don't think there's any doubt I was assigned more business books to read than like books on theology, right? I don't think there's any doubt that I had to read more business books, right? We looked at the world, we looked into the world, into a world that could get batteries into my mailbox in a day. And we wanted to be like them, and we admired that kind of efficiency and that kind of approach. And I think we tried to implement it, tried to take it on ourselves and in our own mission. And then here comes this parable of Jesus. Here comes Jesus and this sower just chunking seeds out anywhere and everywhere, no matter where it might fall, no matter what the risk might be, no matter what might happen, just throwing out all the seeds, right? Like he doesn't even know that birds exist. And he doesn't understand thorns and scorching heat. They're not even things he's considering. He's just throwing this stuff everywhere. And it's an interesting image. I think it seems a little foreign to us. But as I thought about it this week, I mean, the picture I have in my head is almost just carefree, right? Almost like the cute little kid that's supposed to throw out the flower petals before the bride comes down. And they're not very methodical and not very, you know, systematic about it. They're just kind of whipping them everywhere. It's kind of childlike and carefree. And to be honest, I kind of love that image. I mean, don't you, if you really think about it? Because suddenly in this image, there's just a lot of, I don't know, he's just giving gratuitously, right? There seems to me to be a lot of grace in that. Because suddenly it's not the sower's job to examine everything super closely. It's not the sower's job or in their description, job description to evaluate where the seed's going to land and exactly how it'll be received and what'll happen next. It's not in the equation for the sower to make any determinations about where the seed will land or how it will land or how it'll be received, right? Just to give this potential life freely and abundantly and indiscriminately. And that's good news. I like that image. I like that idea. Now, and I want to submit to the first part we should talk about tonight is maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. That should be our approach to this whole thing. I think it's good news that we're supposed to sow indiscriminately, right? Because the truth is I'm not capable of much else than that. And even that can be hard sometimes. But I am not capable of uprooting every weed in your life or anyone else's life, right? I can't chase off every predator that circles each person's own situations, right? I can't provide cover for everyone. I'm not equipped or able to evaluate and protect every seed. That's why I like this image of the sower, right? Just throw it out there. Here, there, everywhere, right? Just throw it out there and let God sort it out. I love that image here. I mean, I don't know about you, but I personally owe just so much to the indiscriminate sowers into my life, right? I'm very grateful for them. Those who didn't take the time, thankfully, to determine my worthiness or whether or not I was going to be receptive enough or what they were going to get back for their investment. Those who just gave me the goodness with no strings attached, graciously and abundantly and indiscriminately, right? The ones who liked this parable were maybe ineffective farmers by today's standards, but were beautiful disciples and gracious distributors of what was good and pure and holy. Disciples of God who were consistently indiscriminate, which is important because indiscriminate is the only way to love like God, right? Because unconditional love, if it's unconditional, it's kind of by definition indiscriminate, right? Of course, that's not the end of the story. A few verses later, we're going to skip a little part here where he has a conversation about why he talks in parables at all. But a few verses later, Jesus explains the parable, which feels a little like cheating. I mean, most of his parables, he doesn't give you an exact here's what it means kind of thing, but he does it here. Starting in verse 18, it says this: "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root," no depth, right? "But endures only for a while. When the trouble or the persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So he goes on to explain what this is. And this is kind of the second portion of what I want to talk about tonight for a couple minutes, and then we'll wrap it up. While it is not our job as sowers of God's kingdom, of God's grace and joy and mercy and peace and love, while it's not our job as sowers of those things to be anything but indiscriminate in our distribution of it, certainly we want to think about the soil on the other side of things. We're indiscriminate as sowers, but we can consider our own soil, right? Our own readiness to receive what is given to us. We can prepare our own ground. We can seek to be open to new and surprising understandings, right? We can't steel ourselves for the difficulties that will come. We can prepare ourselves and steel ourselves and get ready for those so that we don't lose the hope and the joy that has been sowed in us. We can let go of what the world tells us has so much value but really yields nothing of importance at all, right? We can do the work of preparation in our own lives. So when the gift of another sower falls at our feet, we're ready, and it turns into something, right? We're ready to hear, to understand, and to grow, to produce the fruit of that kingdom, right? To take the mustard-sized gifts of God and allow them to overgrow our hearts and our world. And these are important things for us to consider. We can ask ourselves, what stands between us and being the kind of rich soil that will wildly multiply the goodness and love that it has received? What keeps us from being able to come to new understandings? What can't we seem to overcome when it heads our way? What have we allowed to claim too much of our time and attention and money and energy when it really yields nothing of value? What are the small and large things we can do today, this week, this year, to create fertile soil, to turn over that dirt that is crowded and thorny and walked over and hardened and scorched to a point where we're not sure it can grow anymore? What can we do to prepare ourselves to receive good news in a world that a lot of times doesn't feel like it has any, right? Interesting thought to me. And so you might ask, so is this a parable about how to sow? Or is this a parable about how to be the soil? And I think the answer is yes. I think the mission set before us in this parable is to be this unique combination of people that I think are in far too short a supply nowadays. To be the kind of people that wildly and indiscriminately and unconditionally throw around God's grace and love and goodness, which we have received in plenty. To be that kind of person that sows indiscriminately while also being the kind of humble, soft, open, unencumbered people that can receive the next grace that comes our way. To sow goodness everywhere and to be ready to receive something new whenever it lands at our feet. This is the kind of disciple Christ is seeking. Because unlike every weed in my stupid flower garden right now, or flower beds right now, growth doesn't always come that easy. And it doesn't always come in the places we want it to. Nor does it come easy to give without expecting anything in return. But today we can choose to lean into that grace. To be the kind of sower and the kind of soil the world needs more of. Consider that parable. Consider what that might mean for you. And join us in person as soon as we can. Join us on here next week at 5 o'clock. Join us in the Zoom meeting in a few minutes if you're able. Peace be with you.